السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. It's a beautiful hadith sharif we're reading this morning, and I thought we'd share this with you during the Jumu'ah. So Ibn Shimasa, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that we were present with Amr bin Al-As radiallahu ta'ala, while Amr bin Al-As radiallahu anhu was now in his marazul wafat. Like, you know, he's going to pass away now. Anytime he's going to pass away. And we were sitting there with him. So he turned his face towards the wall. So probably his bed was next to a wall. So he turned his face towards the wall and he cried for a very long time. He's crying, he's tearing. So his son comes to him and says to him, Ya Abata, oh my beloved father, we too must learn how to address our parents. See Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. His father is telling him, this is what I'm seeing in the dream. Ya abatif al ma tu'mar. Oh my beloved father, do as you have been instructed. We have a situation where our father is telling us to do something for our own good and we're arguing. Gee, so he says, Ya abata. So, oh my beloved father, Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, then she mentioned a few lines, you know. And there also she said, Ya Abata. And she was talking about Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Abata. So when we address our parents, we address our elders, address with respect. Address with respect. What would it cost us? Address them with respect. Du'as will flow from their hearts. So it says, Ya Abata, it says, did not Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give you glad tidings, this glad tiding, that glad tiding? In other words, why are you crying? I mean, you're passing away now. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given you so many glad tidings. Like, from here you learn that when a person is passing away, you must remind them of good things. Remind them of the mercy of Allah. Remind them of positive things. So he turned his face, Amr bin Al-As radiallahu anhu, he turned his face to them. And he said, see, the most virtuous thing that we have is our iman, our shahadat. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. That's the best thing that we have. The best ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given us is nothing better than that. And then he says, see, with regards to myself, I went through three stages in my life. So he says the first stage was a stage where there was nobody for whom I had more enmity than Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was nobody that was more hated to me, to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the thing that I desired the most was that I must get the upper hand, get control of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that I can, wa na'uzu billah, kill him. So that was my goal. That's what I desired, that I must be able to get the upper hand. I must get control over Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I must be able to. Now obviously this he's talking about before he accepted Islam. He was a non-Muslim. So he says, if I died in that condition, I would be from the people of Jahannam. I would be from the people of Jahannam. He said, فَلَمَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْإِسْلَامَ فِي قَلْبِي. When Allah Ta'ala put Islam in my heart, أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I went to Nabi Akareem صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ and I said to him that, Ya Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, extend your right hand so that I may take bayat. Bayat e imani. You must become a believer now. become a Muslim. So Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam extended his Mubarak hand. But Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu, he withdrew his hand. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, Malaka ya Amr? What's the matter? You came, you say you want to become mu'min, you want to take bayat. In other words, now I extended my hand, why have you withdrew your hand? So he said that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to make a condition. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what condition you want to make? He said, now to make this condition, that I must be forgiven. See, this is the main thing in our life. Main thing in our life, we are all sinners. That we mustn't, don't ever think we're not sinners. How we know we're all sinners? Because Allah Pak told us that. Allah Ta'ala has told us through the Mubarak tongue of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Hadith of Qudsi, Kullu Bani Adama Khattaun. All the children of Adam alayhi salam are sinners. Obviously, besides the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are masoom. But the rest are all sinners. But wa khayrul khattaeen at-tawwabun. But the best from amongst the sinners are those who repent. At-ta'ibu min al-zambi kaman la zambala. The person who repents from his sin is like a person who hasn't committed a sin. Allah Ta'ala wipes it out. Allah Ta'ala cleans it out. People that are going for Hajj, this is what is desired. The Haji will go there and cry to Allah on Arafat and Allah will just wipe everything out. And not only for him, whoever he cries for also. The Eid is coming up. We go for Eid Salah. It's not just about how you're poshing up. You're going there for Eid Salah, you got this desire. Before this Majma ends, announcement will be made. Qumu Maghfura. Stand up in a condition that all are forgiven. All are forgiven. We're doing our qurbani before the drop, before the blood can hit the ground. We want Allah Ta'ala must accept that qurbani. Allah Ta'ala must give us all the reward, all the sawab. This is our deen, you know, beautiful deen. So he says that, you know, now he's making a condition. He says, I want to be forgiven. So Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ وَأَنَّ الْهِجْرَةَ تَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهَا وَأَنَّ الْحَجَّ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ. He said that, don't you know that when you accept Islam, it wipes out everything you did before that. Everything, every guna is washed out, wiped out. Don't you know that when that hijrat, when a person makes hijrat, now the sahaba, to make hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah. So hijrat, it wipes out everything. Whatever guna a person committed before, everything is wiped out. And Hajj. Hajj is also this ibadah that a person goes for Hajj. Everything prior to that, everything is wiped out. Obviously, hukukul ibad that you have to sort out. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Billi ninanwe chuhe kaakar pir haj ko chadi gayi. He said the cat, he killed 99 rats and then went to Ifaj. So whatever hukukul ibad there is, that has to be sorted out. Person is owing somebody money or whatever. Hukukul law also has to be sorted out. Person got qaza, namazes and everything. He has to do all that. But the guna of it, Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Guna of it, Allah Ta'ala gives him a clean slate. Everything is zeroed now. Everything, all the gunas, everything is washed out. So he says, وَمَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He's talking about this stage in his life. He says, in this stage in my life, there's nobody more beloved to me than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes on to explain the type of relationship he had. He said that I respected Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such a degree that that I could never look him in the eye. He said, if somebody has to ask me to describe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I won't be able to do it. Because I never looked him in the eye. I won't be able to describe him. So I never looked him in the eye. That's why when somebody asked one buzurg, he said, what I must do to be able to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream? The buzurg told him, you got a lot of guts. You got a lot of courage you got. Not to say that you mustn't want to see him. Every person, every lover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is desirous, right? You see Hazrat Shaykh, Shaykhul Hadith, Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, the latter portion of his life, he was now reduced to the wheelchair, you know. So he used to always read his namaz in the back, and he used to make his salam from the side. He should never come in the front, but the Roza Mubarak from the front side. He shouldn't come there. So people tell him, Hazrat, now, first saf, Fazilat of the first saf, like, you know, why are you still in the back? You shouldn't say anything. You're making salam there from the side, not going in the front. So one day then he mentioned, he said, you see, I consider it disrespectful to go in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seated. Now, although he was mazur, but still, love is another language, you know, love, respect. A different language. So he says that now there was nobody more beloved to me than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says that due to the greatness I held of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I couldn't look him in the face. I never ever stared at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam my whole life. And then he says that if I had to pass away in that condition, then I'm hopeful I would have been from the people of Jannah. In other words, while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, that time now, he said, that time if I passed away, then I'm hopeful I would have been from the people of Jannah. Now look at the Sahabi, right? What they did for Deen, right? But he's saying, I'm hopeful. Right? And we today, what's our situation? So, then he continues, he says, but after this, we are appointed over certain responsibilities. And now, I don't know what's my situation. Now what he was talking about is that for about 10 years, plus minus 10 years, he was the governor of Egypt, of Misr. 4 years, during the rule of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, 4 years during the rule of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, and 2 years during the rule of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu an. So just over 10 years and some months, he was ruler of Egypt. So he's talking about that. He says that now I don't know what's my condition. But then he says to them, he says, see, فَإِذَا أَنَا مُتْتُ, so now when I pass away, so no wailing woman must follow my janaza. So that in Jahiliyyah, this was a thing that they used to do, is to pay people to cry and come behind the janaza. So you make like, hey, see, this man was a great man, that's why everybody is crying for him. They say, I don't want nobody must wail behind my janaza. There must be no fire following my janaza. And this all customs of Jahiliyyah. So this is important that we must make wasiyat before we pass away. One is to give our family members advice, and then to advise them also that see, when I pass away, don't waste time with my janaza, bury me quickly, don't involve yourself in bid'at, etc., whatever, give some good advices, you know. So he says that no fire must follow me, and then he says that when you bury me, you see, to us, when we think burial, death, all that is like one fairy tale, like something abstract. To them is a reality. So he says, when you bury me, then be gentle when you're throwing the sand on me. be gentle when you're throwing the sand on me. And he says, after that, remain there by my qabr. Don't just bury me and go away. He says, remain there by my qabr, around my qabr, for the duration that it takes to slaughter one camel and distribute its meat. Well, that is the advice Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, that when you bury your loved ones, wait for a while. Wait for a while, because that is the time they need your company the most. That is the biggest imtihan taking place. The last exam now is taking place there of this world. They are being questioned in the qabr. So he says that, remain there so that I may take solace by your presence. Take solace by your presence, and I can now, in other words, I will, like, be in a better frame of mind to give the right answers to the malaika when they come into question. So look at his concern. Today we feel we don't need anybody. He's a sahabi. Probably the people around him were even non-sahaba, tabi'een, etc. But he's requesting them also. Look at their humility, their tawazu. He's requesting them also, no, you all stay around my qabr. Because they had a concern about the akhirat. Concern for the akhirat. How am I going to fare in the akhirat? We are fortunate. Tonight we must look for the moon. If the moon is sighted, tonight will be the first of Zulhijjah. There are no days in which it is more beloved to Allah Ta'ala to be worshipped than these days and nights. Allah loves to be worshipped in these days and nights. So we must make niyat. Those of us can keep roza, try and keep roza. You can't keep roza, no problem. But at least some days try and fast. Try and spend the night in ibadat. Can't spend the whole night, at least some portion of the night spend in ibadat. So much of sawab Allah Ta'ala will give, Allah Ta'ala will forgive us, and we gear ourselves up also for qurbani. And those that are going for hajj, Allah make them suffer asan, Allah make them remember us. You must make this dua, Allah make them remember us. There's so many people that come back, I don't know, man, everywhere I went, I'm only thinking of you. Everywhere I went, your name is coming. Who puts it in their mind? Allah Ta'ala. So you must make dua to Allah. Ya Allah, make them remember me. Haji is going, request the Haji. Make dua for me. The duas are very important. Brothers, make a lot of dua for the ummah around the globe. You know, one is Gaza. Gaza, because it's in the media, so we see, everybody is concerned. Wallahi, brothers, I'm telling you, what's happening in Sudan is so gruesome that is not even seen in Gaza. What's taking place in Sudan is not even seen in Gaza. And who's doing it? Muslim against Muslim. If they are Muslims, or even if they are humans, I don't know, Allah knows. For people to do things like this. Make a lot of dua, the Muslims around the globe. Gaza is one, Sudan, Sham, so many places. And wallahi, must always make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that we are muqallideen. Muqallideen meaning we make taqleed, we follow a mazhab. All these problems, whether it's in Sudan, whether it's in Sham, whatever, what happens is people become Salafi. They become Salafi, they are not bound by any principles, fiqhi principles. They start making takfir of one another. This one is kafir, that one. So now once you brought in the religious side of it, and now you made those people kafir. So now they wajibul qatal. So that's why you see such gruesome murder taking place. In Afghanistan, you never saw this. Because in Afghanistan, the whole country was Hanafi. I'm not saying it must only be Hanafi. You got four mazahib. But because they're Hanafi, So they had the principles of a mazhab. So if you want to check a person's aqidah, whatever, you had principles to check it by. Person is doing right or wrong, you had principles to check it by. The Salafi fitna, don't take it lightly. The Salafi fitna is a terrible fitna. Shiism, Salafism, all these things, they are what you call viruses, you know. They are created in Jewish lands and injected in the ummah to create anarchy, to create fitna, in-house fighting, all these things. The amount that Shias have killed Muslims, the amount that Salafis have killed Muslims, that the kuffar never do. The kuffar never do that much. The amount that in Sham, what, it's Shias killing Muslims. Yeah, in Sudan, they're fighting amongst themselves. One group is making takfir of another group. One group is making takfir of another group. And they are fighting and killing one another. Allah Ta'ala protect us, but make a lot of dua. Make a lot of dua. Allah Ta'ala khair kare. Allah give us a spirit of jihad also. Allah Ta'ala bring back a system of khilafat. And Allah Ta'ala guide us. Allah guide us, bring us on sirati mustaqim. Allah Ta'ala grant the ummat nusrat. Allah must guide and grant the ummat help, grant the ummat victory. Wa akhiru da'ana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.